Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Oprah Daily. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Daily. An erotic escape: why a sexual wellness vacation might be the ultimate pleasure reset. This may be the getaway that your relationship has been missing. And this article is by Ronnie May. The Global Wellness Institute projects that wellness tourism will reach $9.8 trillion by 2029, and destinations are taking notice, creating packages to attract new customers. Within this sector, there has been an increasing number of people who are traveling to explore aspects of sexual wellness. Whether they're looking for a safe, private space to explore desires and strengthen their bond, increase intimacy, or build confidence, the sexual wellness sector is expected to hit $1.4 trillion by next year, from hotel amenities and retreats to educational workshops. What are the benefits of tapping into sexual wellness vacations? The biggest benefit is that they give partners a fresh environment to reconnect without the noise of daily life, says sexual health expert and writer Ashley Cobb. And she is the author of Pleasure Please, The Black Woman's Guide to Unapologetic Pleasure and Confidence. She further explains that when you're not in work mode or laundry mode, it's easier to slip back into lover mode, because these trips also create built-in permission to try new things and more opportunities for the little moments that lead to closeness, such as sleeping in, long meals, holding hands, laughing, and making eye contact without rushing to the next task. Many couples have the misconception that these types of vacations are all about sex. That's not true. Exploring an intimacy-focused destination encourages open conversations about desire, boundaries, and fantasies, which can strengthen your connection and boost mental health through the release of endorphins, serotonin, and oxytocin. And finally, they remind couples that sexual wellness is not just about sex. It's about confidence, connection, and feeling desired, seen, and chosen. How to choose the right destination? Planning a vacation of any kind can be overwhelming, but like any other trip, vacations designed for intimacy and sexual wellness are completely customizable to the couple's wishes and desires. Intimacy retreats. Because sexual wellness is also about building intimacy, you and your partner may be interested in an intimacy retreat before gearing up to visit a spicy resort. Although resorts offer educational sessions, retreats offer a little bit more privacy and comfort. Intimacy Moon offers couples 4-day private retreats in places such as Martha's Vineyard or St. Lucia. Sessions can also be completed virtually. Some retreats focus on body work and confidence, such as the ones hosted by Back to the Body. During the retreat, guests take part in sessions on body image, power dynamics, and expressing their desires. Hedonism 2 in Negril, Jamaica. Hedo is perhaps one of the most popular and well-known destinations for erotic vacations, where couples can choose to embrace nudity throughout their stay, book tantric massages, learn about sensual touch, and dive into the world of the Kama Sutra. However, couples who want to explore these things while wearing clothes can also do so on the other side of the resort. Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico. For couples who may be already a bit advanced when it comes to erotic vacations and like to live a bit more on the wild side, Desire is an adults-only resort that is particularly open to swingers. It's another clothing-optional place where days are filled with beachside fun, like volleyball games, and nights are filled with sexy-themed parties. Monterey Stay and Play in Salinas, California. Exploring kinks with your partner can create a pretty hot and fun evening, especially at this bed and bondage. Stay and Play is an ideal spot for couples who are looking to explore the realms of BDSM and power play. Inside the play dungeon, couples can find an assortment of toys, bedposts with handcuffs or soft ties, and everything needed for a wild night of passion. Introducing the trip to your partner. Leading with connection and respect, Cobb suggests framing these vacations as shared experiences to help your partner feel safe and respected, and to make them more willing to explore together, fostering trust and openness. She suggests saying something along the lines of, "I miss us. I want time where we can focus on each other, rest, and reconnect." Then offer options that match your partner's comfort level, such as starting with a luxury couples retreat, a romantic boutique hotel with a spa, or a destination that offers workshops without requiring participation. Also, be clear about expectations before you go. More importantly, before you dive headfirst into a spicy vacay, agree on what's a yes, what's a no, and what's a maybe. That conversation alone can build intimacy before you even pack a suitcase, says Cobb. Increasing the spice and building intimacy at home. If you're not quite ready to fully explore this type of travel, there are plenty of ways you can still lean into building intimacy with your partner at home. Cobb says the easiest way to do this is with intentionality. She recommends an in-home getaway night, where phones are off, the bedroom is reset like a hotel, and the goal is connection, not necessarily intercourse. Throughout the night, focus on mindful actions like showering together, applying lotion to one another, slow kissing, and extended touch. If you're keen to step outside your house for an evening, you can find local service providers for activities such as couples massage classes, sensual touch workshops, tantra or breathwork sessions, and even beginner-friendly kink education courses. Pick one thing you both might be curious about and treat it like a cute date night with a little edge, says Cobb. She says that when couples learn something new together in a guided, low-pressure setting, it builds trust, sparks desire, and provides them with fresh tools they can use at home. Exclusive. The theme was All Shades of Melanin for Noah Lyles and Janelle Broomfield's Georgia wedding. The couple tied the knot with an ode to Black beauty, Jamaican culture, and the faith, with help from Tasha Cobbs Leonard, that has been the foundation of their relationship. And this article is by Victoria Umoroji. Track's premier couple is officially husband and wife. On April 4th, at the Conservatory at Blackberry Ridge in Trenton, Georgia, Olympic gold and bronze medalists and longtime partners, Noah Lyles and Janelle Broomfield, said, "I do." It was a moment that had been in the making since the couple first announced their engagement in October of 2024. That day was filled with plenty of joy and even more melanin. The theme for sure is All Shades of Melanin, Janelle shared with Essence when we connected with the couple days before their nuptials. So you can expect a lot of brown with golden glam. Other touches the pair were excited about included a blend of their cultures. Janelle, born and bred in Jamaica, ensured staple dishes were included in the reception's menu. "I told Noah I want a Jamaican-American twist. Having both cultures together, I just feel that that's a beautiful thing," she says. "We'll definitely be having Jamaican food, so we'll have many patties because Jamaican beef patties are the best. We'll have red snapper, stewed chicken, we'll have our black cake, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the dance, too, because I don't know how I'm going to do the jerkin heels in a tight dress, but, you know, we'll see about it." For the world's fastest man, he was looking forward to slowing down so that people could appreciate his threads. In line with the melanin theme, brown and gold were incorporated into his look, as well as the groomsmen's suits and the bridesmaids' gowns. A must was that his ensembles allow him to do some of the moves fans have become familiar with him showing off on social media alongside Janelle. The first outfit is actually a suit that has a little bit of all the groomsmen's colors in them. It's a darker suit, but it gives a sparkle that has a little bit of each of the shades of melanin or brown, as you might call them, with a gold flare, Noah told us. "For my second outfit, I am actually wearing a different suit, a little bit lighter of a brown, but it's a lot more flexible, a lot more breathable, it's a lot more casual. I need something to dance in. That's the big thing. If I can't dance in it, if I can't have fun in it, if I can't sweat in it, I'm not going to be able to have fun. And the celebration is my favorite part." Their love story is certainly something to celebrate, and the couple had a good number of friends and loved ones on hand for their special day, from Noah's brother and their close friends to coaches. There were some whose presence would be missed. Janelle's sisters couldn't make it, but she remained encouraged and excited heading into her big day. "There was a bit of disappointment because we're having our wedding in the U.S. My sisters that I grew up with won't be able to make it because, unfortunately, they did not get their visas. But they're all happy for me, and we're going to celebrate with them after," she said. "So it's bittersweet, but I have to always remember what's important on the day. Even though I want to have everybody there, not everybody can make it. But what's most important on the day is that I'm leaving with my husband. So, yeah, I'm happy." In addition to leaning on each other, the couple leaned on their faith going into their wedding day and married life. Their religious beliefs have been a foundation for their relationship, with the couple getting baptized together in October 2025. Janelle shared that they would be including their faith in the ceremony, and unbeknownst to her, Noah had commissioned a renowned gospel singer, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, to perform at the reception. "I'm extremely excited because it is her favorite gospel singer, and she has a little bit of an inkling of a thought that it might happen. But again, because Janelle told me I am bad at surprises, I am determined to surprise her, he said. The day also included a look inside their connection, the things that make them distinctively them, displayed on a customized bookcase that also doubled as a reception seating chart. That right there, I think, is a little piece of home put into the wedding, he said. And hopefully when people look at it, they'll see little pieces of us in it. I know for sure we're going to have some Legos. I might bring a manga magazine to put on there because maybe some random Pokemon cards, a sketchbook, just little things that I think are going to be really cool. But nothing could beat the excitement they had about what was to come after the wedding. Noah and Janelle are over the moon about starting their lives together as husband and wife. I'm looking forward to having a family together in the future because I know that we both will be amazing parents, Janelle said. Noah agreed, describing their future family as the building of an empire as they go after their goals, backing each other up every step of the way. I think we've both gone on to tell each other that we have extremely big dreams and aspirations of creating and making things and coming up with ideas. And I know that we'll always have something entertaining and interesting going on in our lives. I'll just say that, he shared. I'm also excitedly scared about having kids together. Not because I think we'll be bad parents, but it's the unknown. You don't know what you don't know. But it should be pretty exciting. It will always be exciting because they will be at each other's side, growing in love and in their faith in God. I have a feeling we will be an example of the growth of marriage, and hopefully we become examples for other people who want to have a strong relationship, said Noah, not only with us, but with God as well. Cynthia Bailey hard launches boyfriend LaPrince at Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 17 premiere event. They may be staying off Instagram, but the supermodel and her musician boyfriend have been locked in since 2024. And this article is by Elizabeth Ayula. The Real Housewives of Atlanta has reached season 17, and OG cast member Cynthia Bailey, these days a friend of the cast, came out to celebrate the season premiere. The 59-year-old brought special guest, her musician boyfriend LaPrince, 39, whom she's been dating since 2024. The two were captured having fun at the premiere, vibing out and dancing at a table they were seated at. LaPrince is a Surinamese Dutch musician who mixes reggae music with dance and techno sounds, touted as reggaetronic. For those who didn't realize Ms. Bailey had a man, their relationship made headlines in March 2025 when they were spotted together at Los Angeles International Airport. The model wasn't quite ready for the world to know his identity, but once he was unveiled, she shared some details about how they operate. Now we can't go anywhere, but you know what? The cat is out of the bag, she told TMZ at the time. We're still staying off social media. I personally just don't feel like social media is a place that promotes love. It's very toxic, and I've been through it. The supermodel added, I've been through marriages, through divorces, and I've met someone I really like, and I just really want a fair chance to just kind of get to know him, not in the public way. Bailey kept her word about keeping their relationship low-key and offline, as we haven't seen much of them on social media beyond a few public outings. However, the reality TV star said her goal is to keep their relationship private but not hidden. She was also able to exhale once the public found out who the one-time mystery man was. It's kind of a relief because now we can just really be outside and not worry about, like, ducking anyone, she said last year. We're very free now, just not on social media. While LaPrince's identity wasn't revealed until 2025, the supermodel told the world in August 2024 that she was dating a younger guy, and things were going well back in August 2024. She also shared news that, again, while at the Bravo Fan Fest red carpet in Miami in November 2025. Bailey has had a public love life for quite some time. Dedicated fans have watched her fall in and out of love with the likes of Leon Robinson, with whom she shares a daughter, Noelle, Peter Thomas, and Mike Hill. She says her relationships have shaped who she is now. I don't regret any of my marriages, Cynthia told Access Atlanta in May 2023. I don't regret any of my relationships. Those men were all a part of my story. They were a part of my journey. And I've grown and become better with each man, each experience. I don't live life with regrets. It's all a part of my story. It's all a part of my journey. Black women built food culture. Black women in food is making sure they get credit, capital, and community to match. From curated dinners to a national summit, the founders of Black Women in Food are building access, visibility, and opportunity across the industry. This article is by Kimberly Wilson. The food industry has a long history of borrowing from Black culture, often without crediting Black women behind it. Nina Adoro and Mame Bokaye have spent the better part of a decade building something designed to change that. Dine Diaspora, the D.C.-based culinary platform they co-founded in 2014, started with an idea that was simple enough: curated dinner gatherings where chefs told the stories of their heritage through their menus. And as it grew and the two co-founders began meeting more chefs, the same issue kept surfacing no matter how many chefs they brought to the table. Those showing up to their signature dinners were overwhelmingly men, which spoke to how much of the industry's female talent had been overlooked. Finding female chefs took a significant effort, and it raised a bigger question. Why? We didn't want to be part of the problem, Boake said. So they did what made sense and went back to their network, asking people to help them find the women who were out there building careers across the industry and not getting nearly enough attention for it. What came back showed them that the women were there all along, cooking, farming, writing, running restaurants, doing the work, while the industry continued to shine its light elsewhere. That realization became Black Women in Food, which started as an awards campaign and has since grown into a three-day summit taking over Washington, D.C. this weekend. The gathering brings together chefs, farmers, food journalists, restaurateurs, food justice advocates, and entrepreneurs. By design, it brings every corner of the food world into one room. The Black women's food issues around equity and inclusion mimics the rest of other industries in America, Adoro said. The food industry is a microcosm of other areas. Black women continue to shape how this country eats, from setting trends to building the culinary traditions others later borrow from. The funding and recognition have not kept pace with any of that. This year's summit theme, Ascend Together in Purpose in the Face of Change, reflects where they are right now. Economic disparities are rampant right now, said Adoro. We're facing challenges in businesses, especially restaurants. Many are closing. Racial and economic inequities that were already present are now sitting underneath a broader economic climate that's making everything harder. And yet, Adoro and Boake kept bringing people together anyway. Boake described the gathering as a deliberate act of collective rising, harnessing the strength of our community to redefine what's possible and chart a future of our own design. Adoro has seen it firsthand. One woman left her corporate job and started pivoting into people and cultural work within the food industry, eventually finding her way to Members Circle, Black Women in Food's private platform, where members can connect, share resources, and access opportunities together. Adoro connected her to another member, and what started as one exploratory phone call turned into the woman landing her first client in a new business. In her note back to Adoro, the woman described Members Circle as a community that lets their guard down, a community that you can go into when you're in moments of transition, and a community that will help you and not gatekeep. The summit is engineered to produce more of those moments at a much bigger scale. The food industry has long kept its different players separated from each other's. Chefs talking only to chefs, farmers rarely in conversation with the people cooking their produce, and policy advocates working in a lane that can feel entirely removed from what happens inside a restaurant kitchen. That separation has real consequences, especially for Black women who already face barriers to visibility and access. When a food media person and a restaurateur who can't afford a PR budget end up in the same room, conversations happen that the industry's normal structure would never allow. Solutions are driven when diverse mindsets come together, Adoro said. The access points to opportunities can be right in front of you. Behind the scenes, there's also a research partnership with Cornell University, focus on the data gap on Black women across food, beverage, and hospitality. Most industry data does not disaggregate by race, let alone by gender. And without numbers, the case for funding is harder to make, and the scale of the problem stays invisible to the people who have resources to address it. We know that numbers and evidence drives funding and drives opportunity, Adoro said. The Cornell partnership is meant to put numbers behind what Black women in food have always known, so the conversation can happen at a national level with something concrete to point to. Both founders bring years of international development experience into this work, and it shows up in how they think about inclusion, whose knowledge gets credited, and who gets to shape the systems that govern what we grow, cook, and eat. Boyake had a message for the Black woman who has been sitting on a food-related idea and hasn't done anything about it yet. Now is the time to be bold to do it. The summit was run entirely by volunteers, roughly 30 people who have given 8 months of their time to see it happen. When Black women in food decide something needs to exist, they find a way to build it themselves. Black maternal health is entering its tech era, and a new app is putting advocacy at the center. A new wave of tech-driven solutions, including real-time advocacy app, Pregnant and Black, is transforming how Black mothers navigate the healthcare system. This article is by Rania Rayford. With Black maternal mortality rates remaining alarmingly high, a new wave of tech-driven solutions, including real-time advocacy app Pregnant and Black, is transforming how Black mothers navigate the healthcare system. When I was 30 weeks pregnant, I was sent home from the hospital after doctors dismissed my pain. 1 week later, I was back in the emergency room, but this time I had my own home team of doctors there with me, and their advocacy saved my life. Instead of being sent home with a ticking time bomb and appendix waiting to rupture, I received an MRI, a diagnosis, and was rushed into emergency surgery. I happened to have 5 people in the room who knew what to ask, how to escalate, and ensure I was seen. But I know that most women, especially Black women, do not have that luxury. Just last month in Georgia, a Black pregnant woman in active labor at Piedmont Henry Hospital was separated from the advocates she had chosen to support her. Jatem McKinney and Shira Lawrence, the doulas she hired to be by her side during birth, were escorted out of the hospital against her wishes. Unfortunately, these moments are not isolated incidents. They are part of a long and much-documented pattern of discrimination by the healthcare system. Almost a century after federal officials first documented the crisis, Black women are 3 times more likely to die from a pregnancy-related cause than white women. The year 2026 marks the 10-year anniversary of Black Maternal Health Week. This year's theme is rooted in justice and joy. Over the past decade, tech solutions around Black maternal health have entered the fray, and Pregnant and Black, a new app launching on April 11th that I created, is aiming to provide real-time advocacy for Black women. PAB exists to ensure that no woman has to navigate pregnancy alone. The app is designed as a free, real-time health navigator, connecting pregnant women to trained healthcare advocates who can help them navigate medical systems, advocate during appointments, and ensure their concerns are heard and documented. PAB is a safety net, connecting women to healthcare advocates who can help them navigate care and speak up when it matters the most. Grammy Award winner and maternal health advocate Latoya Luckett, Safe Passage Legacy Award honoree for PAB in 2026, spoke with Essence about the necessity of the platform. An app like Pregnant and Black is necessary because access to information and advocacy can literally save lives, she said. Too many Black women aren't being heard or taken seriously during one of the most vulnerable times in their lives. Having a tool like this puts knowledge, resources, and support right at your fingertips. It empowers women to ask questions, speak up, and advocate for themselves, Luckett continues. It also creates community, so no one feels like they're navigating this journey alone. For me, it's about giving women both the confidence and the tools to protect their health and babies. Too often, Black women's concerns are dismissed outright by the medical system. I delivered my first baby in 2024. Thankfully, she is healthy and thriving, but the anxiety I felt as a first-time mom was compounded by the fact that I knew the odds that I or my baby would experience a complication increased drastically because I am a Black woman in America. Houston mom Pamela Agbu shares, I'm thankful that this app exists to connect Black women to caregivers who can support them through this challenging time. The research proves that Agbu's anxiety is well-founded. Clinical records show that when it comes to believing Black women, doctors have a hard time doing so. This manifests in different ways, including questioning their credibility by utilizing quotes around certain words, such as writing a reaction to the medication and suggesting doubt, claims, or insists. The PAB app is devised to help bridge these persistent and dangerous gaps in maternal health care. Both the data and lived experience have shown how Black women's symptoms are dismissed, their pain downplayed, and concerns ignored. And Black women founders like myself are stepping in, not to replace providers, but to provide the support that Black women need at such a critical and vulnerable time. The growing ecosystem of Black maternal health technology solutions is seeking to redefine what support can look like. Apps like Earth, Poppy Seed Health, and Mommy Monitor intentionally shifting the focus toward patient-centered and culturally competent care. Because for Black women, safety starts with trust. PAB is joining these pre-existing tools with a distinct emphasis on the concept of advocacy as intervention. Where some platforms focus on access or information, PAB zeroes in on the moment where many breakdowns occur, the interaction between patient and provider. By providing real-time support, the app aims to reduce the likelihood that symptoms are dismissed or overlooked. It's a solution rooted in simple but urgent truth. The difference between life and death is whether someone listened. Pediatrician Marilyn McPherson Corder, MD, has seen this firsthand. I find it appalling that many women don't feel comfortable talking to their providers. We need to change the mindset of families, expecting mothers, physicians, and we know this is something that can make a difference and make sure everyone respects her pregnancy. The PAB app will begin to turn the stats around, Corder says, because we know it works when you have someone in the expectant mother's corner who's respecting both the mother and the child. Black Maternal Health Week serves as a yearly call to action for addressing this crisis, but many tools are available year-round and offer hope to Black women everywhere. Most Black women are all too aware of the statistics, but PAB is offering up a tangible, scalable solution designed with Black women at the forefront. Because while the system was not built to protect and safeguard Black mothers, platforms like PAB are helping them build their own dream team for care during pregnancy and motherhood, one connection, conversation, and intervention at a time. We have run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Daily. I hope you have enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I am Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Oprah Daily is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.